Now, tonight we're wrapping up this series called Ignite, which is the foundations of a supernatural lifestyle. And I'm really excited about this because this is talking about how in sharing the good news of Jesus, in evangelism, it includes healing. So let me hear you say, evangelism includes healing. There's been a segment of the church that has missed out on that because they believe that stuff was left for when the book of Acts was written, or early church fathers, or every once in a while, God's in a good mood and he'll zap somebody with healing, like sovereignly. All of a sudden, I'll just heal Roxanne today. What the heck? That sounds like a great idea, right? Instead of like, well, no, God's in a good mood all the time. Right? It's the goodness of God that leads people to repent. It draws them in, the kindness of God. And so one of the most powerful ways we can demonstrate the kindness and the goodness of God is actually through physical healing. And there's been lots of other places where I've taught theologically and went through line on them in depth about this. I don't want to go through all of that, but I do want to give you a few power statements. And then what we're going to do at the tail end of this thing is I'm going to show you some video testimonies, and we're going to have a few people in here share a couple of their testimonies. And then we're going to go after practicing what we just activated by. I know there's some people in here who have some illness issues or injury issues that need healing. And we're going to go after it tonight, believing with all our heart that God is going to do something. And this is what I want you to pick up on. Like, the time is done and over with of a church that kind of cowers when illness or injury shows up or darkness shows up. Like, it's got to be done and over with. And if you've been around us for any period of time, you've heard me talk about this. But in the stream in the that we run with a bunch of different streams that run into the one river, of Christ and the church. But we know that there is a end time harvest of souls that is coming and is here now. Bob Jones, a prophet, had said there's going to be a billion soul harvest. I would really say it's billions of souls, because that's how many people are lost. I mean, you're talking about 5 billion people. I don't think the Lord is going to be satisfied with 1 billion, right? I think he wants all 5 billion, knowing that people are going to make their choices, but that's not our choice. Like, our choice is to go and present the gospel in such a powerful and unique way that it gives them that opportunity to choose. It's a rescue mission. And so as we're going into this, we're entering it, and I was talking to one of our friends here last Sunday, and he reminded me last year sometime, I think it was like about this time, I think it was Chuck Pierce, I could be wrong on who it was, had given a prophetic word saying, well, we're about to enter into a 10-month period of this unprecedented upheaval, like shaking, in both like in our nation, in our world, and even in the church is going to feel the shaking of what's going on. And if you know me, I'm an exhorter, and I'm always like, the glass is not just half full, like it's like barely below being full. Like, that's just the way I think all the time. So I have a hard time a lot of times it's going to get tough, type thing. But I know that there's seasons that happen. And he said, and it was going to be followed by, at the end of that 10-month period, 3 years of unprecedented advancement of the kingdom, supernatural breakthroughs, unlike anything that is seen even in the book of Acts. This is the greater things. And it's for the purpose of the billions of souls that are going to come into the kingdom, okay? I know they're flying, right? Okay, so can we all just say, in the name of Jesus, bats have nothing on me, okay? Like, I'm Batman and, go, right? Or go back to sleep, go get a cave. We've sealed it up. And so the enemy will try to use it to distract. I don't believe the enemy's in everything, but he can use a lot of things to distract us, right? And so in realizing over the last 10 months specifically, I don't know about you, but we went through some upheaval and some different stuff personally, different health issues and different things going on, and watching what's gone on in our nation is definitely, like, from 10 months ago, it's been crazy and what's gone on in our world and whatnot. But the end of that 10 months was February. March opens up this door, and I really do believe it, because it matches up with a lot of other words that we have received personally about this house and what God's doing in this region. So here's what I want you to do tonight. As we talk about this thing, I'm done talking about, hey, can we go talk about healing, or can we go do the healing stuff? Can we go do the stuff that Jesus did? And I want to move into, no, it's part of our, not just our right or inheritance, but it's our responsibility. Like, I've got to shift in my mindset of, like, it's not okay. Every time I see darkness, it's my opportunity to be a candle and a light into the middle of that darkness. And that's it. Like, and when it feels like, let me hear you say feels like, right? That's another way of saying it seems like the darkness is kind of growing. That's just another thing going, but the dawn's coming. Like, it always feels like it's a little bit darker right before the dawn comes. Like, I just need to recognize when it feels like the pressure's turned up, when all any of those things, I'm like, the devil's about to lose. Like, he's already lost ultimately, but he's losing his grip. Like, he's going, you know, and he knows it, okay? It's an invitation for me in that moment to go, but I know who I am, I know whose I am, and I know what power and authority I have. And if I back away, all I'm communicating to the enemy is, he was right about me. Now, no shame, no guilt. Don't hear me on this. But you hear what I'm saying. Like, if you show a dog fear, the dog's going to get a little bit more aggressive because it feels like, or if you've ever ridden horses, if you get on that horse and you're just full of fear, that animal knows if you're in control or not, right? And so in the same response, I just need to go, oh, this situation, it requires me not to amp it up or try really hard. It goes, no, I know who I am. Declaration, power. We talked about Sunday. I'm just going to shout the good news of who Jesus is. And specifically in this area of healing, I want to tell you many words spoken over this house specifically, and I believe it's for the entirety of the body, but look, somebody's got to lead the way. And I think that's us in this region, okay? Unprecedented miracles and breakthrough, right? That's part of our inheritance, like expectation, blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, diabetes going away, cancer. We prayed for somebody. I'm not, until I do the funeral for Chris on Sunday, the young man that died on last Saturday, I'm not waiting. I'm not giving up on resurrection. I believe it. And until I feel that release in my spirit, there's a couple young man, the fiance was at the women's retreat. She got, he was watching the kids, got a phone call and he had passed away. Short and skinny of it. We're going after it. With some of our ladies, you guys went over there and y'all not just physically cleaned the house, but what did y'all do? Y'all spiritually cleaned the house. Why? Because you walked in and said, it's not okay. It's not okay for death to rule and reign, right? It's not okay for the enemy to have any strongholds or any loopholes or any things it can feel it can do. And here's the thing. It's not okay for it to come back at you. One thing we must be very careful of is even if the enemy increases his attack on you, we must not come underneath the lying belief system that, well, higher levels, higher devils. The more I press into God, that means the devil's just hacked off at me and he's just going to come at me more, except for he always hates you. God always loves you. He's always in a good mood towards you. The devil always hates you, and he's always in a bad mood towards you. So let's not make agreement with, well, this is just the way it's going to have to be. Instead, what I need to do, I need to go, but what did Jesus pay for? Okay? So this is what we're talking about on healing. Jesus paid for everything on the cross. Let me hear you say it all together. Let me say, this is an invitation for belief and declaration, not just to repeat what I'm saying. Okay? So again, no shame, no condemnation, but we need to move into this power and authority saying, but Jesus paid it all on the cross. So if you believe that, say, Jesus paid it all on the cross. Let me hear you say, nothing escaped what he paid for. So this is what we're entering into as we talk about healing, okay? Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The word in there is talking about the Greek word. Now, this is the Old Testament in Hebrew, but the Greek word for salvation is saved, healed, and set free, okay? Atonement for my sin that reconnects me back into life. When I'm reconnected back into life, guess what happens? It didn't just pay for my sin. It pays for the consequences of my sin. The consequences of sin is what? Death. Illness, okay, is paid for. Broken hearts are paid for by the blood of Jesus. And this, so we have to understand it. By his stripes, he paid the price for us. Now, I'm going to go into this in a second, but that should be enough for us to pray in belief for healing. Forget them. I know it feels difficult, okay? I get it, but whatever. It's okay, okay? I know when we walk into something like this, the thing is going, like, well, did Jesus really pay for it? Did he make it? Okay, we'll say this. Another way to look at this is disease ever in heaven? So even if Jesus, if we don't have to hang our hat just on the theological nail that Jesus paid it all, and all we have to hang it on is a theological nail that disease and death was never part of heaven, and Jesus gave the prayer, as it is in heaven, let it be here on the earth, that would be enough, okay? So, but thankfully, we've got more than just those two things, okay? We also have his name, who is God. It says in Exodus 15, 26, he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commandments and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. Look what it says. For I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Remember, was he's with Abraham. He says, I'm Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. So when anytime the Lord gives his name, he's telling you what he's already done. Not just what he's going to do, it's what he does. Everything he does flows out of who he is. He never has to perform. It just naturally flows out of this thing. So now we have this theological nail, imagine. And that's just, I didn't realize I had three, but think about it, right? And then the feet, one, two, three. Jesus paid it all on the cross. There's no disease in heaven. And then to put the final nail through it, it's part of his name. It's the Lord who heals you. Like God's name is, I will heal you. I don't need an excuse. I don't need a reason. And I don't need permission to heal who I want to heal or to touch who I want to touch. And I'm looking for an invitation for my people who will be willing to walk out with that fervor and that dedication inside their heart that says, I'm going to become militant about anything that would try to lower the standard of who he is and what he's accomplished in Scripture and lowering the standard of heaven. So his name carries a great name. Great weight. Psalm 103:1, a psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. That's Old Testament. So Jesus hadn't paid it all yet, but technically he did, because it says before the foundations of the earth, Christ was crucified. So before you had a problem, he had a solution. He already had crucified Christ. So when Jesus paid for the acts of sin, he also paid for the consequences of sin. So that means that when we're going after, say, somebody, and we're going to give you a testimony tonight, somebody who had jumped off of a multiple-story building, had crushed their legs inside, had multiple plates because they were high as a kite on drugs. And then 40 years later, not quite 40, 20-something years later, he was here last year at Love New Braunfels. We laid hands on him, and the metal disappeared out of his legs. What is that? That's the consequences of stupidity. But the blood of Jesus paid for that, right? So it's not just the act of sin that separates you. It's even the consequences. So that's why we had a young man last week that just really got wrecked and had come out of an addiction. And it's like, tell him, look, as remember, Dan Moeller told a testimony of about a young man who had hep C from using needles from heroin addiction. And he was going in daily and daily and daily to have his liver, right? I think that's what heroin attacks the liver. And he was on the transplant list. Like, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And Dan just told him, he says, you know that Jesus paid also for the consequences of that? He can heal that. So he laid hands on him. Boom, he just felt this heat go into his side. He went to go get tested. The markers don't show up in his blood anymore. Medically, that's impossible from what I understand. Okay, once you got the markers for hep C, they're there. And they don't even show up anymore. Why? Because of consequences. So belief system, that's my God. Okay? That's what we're going after. So somebody asked me the other day, says, well, so why are we focusing on healing? We just need to preach Jesus. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. And so when Jesus shows up, what does he do? He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He casts out the demons. He sets the captives free. Right? He declares the good news that we're supposed to carry on. So let me deal with a couple of tough questions that sometimes come up. So why doesn't everyone I pray for get well? Who's at fault? I don't know. But here's what I do believe and who I do know. God doesn't use shame, guilt, or condemnation. This is not about a fault-finding mission. This is about a fact-finding mission of who he is and the release and the declaration of his goodness. We talked about several weeks ago, 1 Corinthians 14:1, let love be your highest goal. So when I pray for somebody and they don't get well, I don't blame them, I don't blame the Lord, and I don't blame myself. I live with mystery, okay? Gosh, this is a whole other side message. Okay, this is important. Mystery, real quick, okay? There's another piece of scripture that says, but he allows us to reveal the mysteries of who he is to us. Like, so it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard the things that God has planned for him, but to us it was revealed by the Spirit who he is. So I'd ask you the question, are we supposed to live with mystery? Or are we supposed to not live with mystery? And the answer is yes. When something happens that I don't understand and is beyond my scope, I live with mystery. And I'm okay with that. There's some things I won't learn till heaven. Why did that person not get up and walk? Why did that dead person not get up and rise? I don't know. But here's what the mystery does not need to be. His ways should never be mysterious. Talked about, I think even earlier on in this teaching, Moses knew his ways, but Israel knew his deeds. Okay? So if we become so enthralled with the deeds, we never know his heart and his ways. And when we face difficulties, when we don't see him perform for us, then we lose faith and we kind of back away. But when you know his ways, you know his heart, it doesn't matter when it doesn't show up. I know he's always good. I know he never sends disease to teach somebody a lesson. I know these things because I know my Father's heart. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay? So when it doesn't happen, here's what you do. You can say, I don't know. But I'm going to make sure this person is loved. And here's one thing I won't do. I will not surrender saying, well, this must be their cross to bear. This must be their thorn in the flesh. Paul's thorn in the flesh was not a disease, by the way. That's a whole nother story, okay? I'm not going to make excuses and lower the standard of scripture to match up my level of experience, okay? What I'm going to do is it's still not okay. This person still has this disease. It's not okay. Why? Because it's not in heaven, and so I'm not going to be satisfied, and I'm going to love that person, and I'm going to say, as you're walking through this, I will. If I need to drive you to a doctor's appointment, I will do it. If you just need encouragement, you need a meal, but I'm going to constantly pray, believing for your healing and your full restoration. I will not surrender what Jesus paid for because of a bad experience or a lack of experience. Do you hear what I'm saying? About three of you believe that. That's okay. It's okay. I've got enough faith for us all. It requires faith on our part to follow Jesus. That's the whole point, okay? Number two, does God want people to be sick or does he cause sickness? No. Okay? That's been taught in the church. That's born out of bad experience. And again, me stepping over the line, and let's just say this, I have such a high standard of scripture that I'm not going to rewrite or add to this book. But when I begin to attribute things to God like that, like he sends an illness or he sends disease, I'm now rewriting this. And I better have the holy fear of the Lord in that, okay? And so God never sends a disease to teach you a lesson, okay? He will allow your choices to have consequences. There's times that he, even with the attack that happened on Job, what happened? He had a hand of protection over him. He allowed the enemy to come in and do his thing. And somebody says, well, see, God allows evil to happen. Do you know why? Because at the end, he already knew how he was going to restore Job to double. And so not only did Job have the kids that died and went to heaven, he also had a whole nother flock of them. And those kids, don't cry for me, Argentina, like those kids, they were in heaven. Okay, like they're connected with him. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, so the devil lost it all, is my whole point. So when it comes into this thing, even when evil is allowed to operate, I have to come back into it. But what's his heart? What's his goodness? What's he working out? He's working all things out for good according to his purposes, his plan for you and for us. Okay? Bill Johnson says it this way. The Lord can win with a pair of twos in a poker game with the devil. Doesn't matter if the devil throws down, if you don't, I've never played poker, but a straight flush, right, a royal straight flush, like the highest hand you could have, it doesn't matter. God could throw it, he didn't even a pair of two. He just needs a two, okay? Because the Lord is always a majority everywhere he goes. You plus the Lord is always a majority, okay? So just in this, the Lord doesn't, and I would say again, if we did to our own kids what we attribute to God sometimes, we'd be arrested for child abuse. So we have to learn how to deal with disappointment, though. Deuteronomy 29:29, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them. Let me hear you say, I'm not accountable for them. But we and our children are accountable forever. Let me hear you say, we're accountable forever in our children. Okay. For all that he has revealed to us so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. Who did Jesus reveal? The Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip, don't you know who I am? I've been with you all this time. He's already revealed the character and the nature of the Father, right? So when something happens that doesn't make sense to me, I'm responsible, and my kids and our care are accountable for what he's already revealed to us, the character and the nature of who he is. What I'm not accountable for is why it didn't happen in the timeline that I wanted. I go, okay, God, that's yours. And I'm okay with that, okay? But I keep pressing in for his goodness. Does that make sense? Okay. So when our theology is based entirely on what we see or do not see in our own personal experience, defeat becomes stronger than God's word. Let me read that again. When our theology is based entirely on what we see or do not see in our own personal experience, defeat becomes stronger than God's word. That's why we don't walk according to sight, we walk according to faith, right? And knowing God's word that's hidden inside of our heart and how he's revealed himself to us. Randy Clark said this, we cannot allow our experience with defeat to detour us from what Jesus clearly told us to do. So, and I remember too, when we first started moving into the healing, I had several people, well-meaning people who love Jesus and love people, but just, it was such a fear-based way of thinking. He goes, well, aren't you going to set people up for failure or disappointment when you pray for them and they don't get well? I'm like, well, you already got more faith that they're not going to get well. That's a problem, number one. Number two, weren't they already disappointed because they had an illness? I mean, what am I going to do? Like, I'm making it worse because I prayed for them and I cared about them and I'm doing what the Bible says? I mean, come on, you're right? Love be my highest goal. We have to walk this thing through. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? If he healed them then, he wants to heal them now. John 6, 1 through 2. After this, Jesus crossed over the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he what? Healed the sick. Let me hear you say healed the sick. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple, let me hear you say a simple. So we don't need to make this uber complicated. With a simple command, and he healed all. Let me hear you say all. All the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Now remember a second ago, I just read you that Isaiah 50, was it 53, where it says, by his stripes we're healed. He took the infirmities on our body. And I had somebody tell me, well, that's talking about so it can get you to heaven, but that doesn't pay for physical healing here on the earth. That wasn't paid in the atonement. Well, Matthew just quoted Isaiah saying, well, Jesus healed all the sick, and that was a fulfillment of, he fulfilled Isaiah first right there. That means that he paid for it all, even before he had paid for it all. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. So who were he bringing the members to? Jesus, okay? Not bringing them to us, right? But my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ lives in me, okay? It says, no matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. So somebody told me, well, he didn't heal everybody. Well, everybody he came to was healed. Every single person that encountered his hand or his touch or his word was healed, okay? Well, there's still sick people on the planet that did not have an encounter with him. Of course there was, okay? That's why he appointed you and me to go, okay? So healing was a vital part of Jesus' ministry on earth and should be a part of ours. Why? Healing proved Jesus was the Messiah. Healing proved Jesus had authority to forgive sins. This is all coming out of verses. Healing showed the kingdom of God was at hand. Healing was proof of God's love and compassion. And healing is proof of God's power and authority over disease. Okay? So why should healing be an integral part of our ministry? Number one, we are to obey the commands of Jesus and follow his example. And that's, again, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There's also places he sent out the 70, he sent out the 12. They got to do the stuff, okay? John chapter 14 talks about, Philip, I've been with you. Have you seen what I've done? Do the same. In fact, you'll do greater things. Go read John 14 one time. I'm not going to read it right now. It'd take up too much time. But he says, you'll do greater things than you've seen me do. Now, I don't know about you, but that challenges me. Like, that doesn't mean I'm Jesus or I'm better than Jesus. But it means as I surrender and submit to him, I come into the belief system of heaven. His promise is that I will do greater things through him. And so I must be willing to step up to the plate. Otherwise, I'll never see the greater things. Okay? Somebody will see the greater things. It won't be me if I don't step up and take a risk, right? And it's out of obedience. Ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Number two, healing aids evangelism. Let me hear you say healing aids evangelism. Mark chapter 16 talks about go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Okay? So if we just stop there, we would think, okay, God bless you. That would just be, all right, I'm going to go hand out tracts. All right? And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, right? Or I'm just going to go encounter people and ask them, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? That's incomplete on go and tell people about me. Look what it says. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany me when I believe. What am I believing? I'm believing like Jesus. I don't just believe in Jesus. Belief in Jesus is not enough. The demons believe in Jesus and they tremble. It's about having a belief system of heaven, a mindset that allows me to walk out and believe like him. And look what it says. Here's the signs that will follow those who believe. Cast out demons in my name. They'll speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. They drink anything poisonous. It won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick. They will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up to heaven, sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Healing will aid us in evangelism. Because what separates us from the world? What separated Moses from the magicians of Pharaoh? His snake ate their snake. It's like a drop the mic, right? The ultimate thing, like, okay, well, big deal. You can manufacture a few things, all right? We're just going to trump you with light, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you, listen to what it says, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay, so Paul is setting up this thing. What is included in what Jesus paid for in the crucifixion? I've determined to know nothing, set my attention on nothing but Jesus and him crucified, because in that crucifixion, he's saying Jesus paid it all. Look what it says. I was with you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration. Let me hear you say demonstration. Let's see how to say this correctly without it being. There is no, you cannot passively demonstrate something unless you're demonstrating passivity. Does that make sense? Okay. The only thing passivity will ever demonstrate is passivity, which means you cannot demonstrate the gospel of Jesus without demonstrating the gospel of Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? Lay hands on the sick. I mean, like, we're bringing heaven with us. I hope that makes sense. You have to tell me if it did. I might listen to it later and go, I don't know. No, I believe every word about it. That was good. It says, but in demonstration, look what it says, of the Spirit and of power. Listen to what it says. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. The problem with some of our evangelism is, we came in with very persuasive words of wisdom, and none of it was wrong, and none of it was incorrect. We talked about who Jesus was, but because they did not have an encounter with his power, there was no real transformation from the inside out. And I'm not saying that the power has to be somebody falling out in the spirit. You know what I'm saying? Or they have to have a touch of healing. My point, though, is there's going to be a tangible manifestation that Jesus showed up in somebody's life, and it better be powerful, because only his power can take you out of darkness into light. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, I can't act my way out of hell. I can't behave my way out of hell. That's religion, and it gets you nowhere, and you find yourself right back in the same pit, okay? I need a powerful touch. And so I'm telling you, I prayed with somebody recently, and they're like, I've been trying to get over this thing in terms of an addiction. And I said, are you ready for the power of God? That's what the Lord told me. Are you ready for the power of God? And I said, you're going to feel it tangibly right now. I can promise you, right now, he's going to tangibly touch you. So watch your body. Begin to pray over him. He's like, what's going on? What are you doing? And I said, no, I told you, God's showing up. He needed a tangible touch of power and influence, and quite honestly, it was a better high than he'd ever experienced. Okay? There's been other times I've been with somebody who had been in abuse and just bad situations. You know how the power of God showed up? Peace. In a whisper. Just like. And it was powerful. It was transformative. Okay? That's what Paul's talking about. Because so that your faith would be what? Not in men, but in him. Okay, so you build people's faith through that. Let's see if I can read that verse. It says, Romans chapter 15, I just want to read verse 17. It says, so I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, personal testimony, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, look at what it says, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Icarium. Did you hear what I just read? I mean, like, you want to fully present the good news of Jesus Christ? It says, they are convinced by the power of miraculous signs, wonders, and by the power of God's Spirit. That's what convinced them of the good news. And he says, when I did that in agreement with all it is, then the gospel was fully preached. We owe people a complete and full gospel, not just a partial gospel. They need the full gospel, which includes atonement, right? Which includes all those other things, the lordship of Jesus, the sovereignty, all those things. But they need a touch from him. Because healing the sick is not feeling-based, it is always faith-based. Let me give you one more verse, or two more verses, and then we're going to give a few testimonies, and then we're going to go after some stuff, okay? And here's what I felt like the Lord did. I'm going to hand you, because on Friday, the second-year student is going to teach on the methodology of prayer a lot more in depth, and I didn't want to reteach what he's going to teach. So I want to encourage you guys as much as you can. There'd be an incentive to come back on Friday night. Even if you can't come during the day on Friday, or even if you can't come on the day on Saturday for different things, but if you can even come at 6:30 on Friday night, it'll be worth your time of it. But there's a five-step prayer model that we use here. We teach our trainer prayer team to go through. I'm going to give that to you before we leave, and we're going to pray for some people in here. But Acts chapter 9, verse 32 through 35 says this. It says, meanwhile, Peter traveled from place to place, and he came down to visit the believers in the town of Lydda. There he met a man named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Simplicity, right? Get up, roll up your sleeping mat, and he was healed instantly. Look what it says. Then the whole population, let me hear you say the whole population, of Lydda and Sharon. So there's two cities in this. The whole entirety of the city, two cities. Imagine New Braunfels and San Marcos, okay? The entirety, tomorrow or tonight, one of you is healed. Or on Friday during Love New Braunfels or Saturday during Love New Braunfels, one person's healed. And in that one person healed, look what it says. The whole population saw him walking around and they turned to the Lord. What's the fruit we're looking for? They turned to him. Not that they come follow us or our church gets big or any of that stuff. No, I want to build his kingdom and we have a responsibility. Could you imagine? So many people say, well, there's a lot of lost people and, oh gosh, it's kind of hard in this region of the city. Forget that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It was hard for Jesus to go to the cross and die. He paid the hard price. So we got to stop believing that crap. I'm sorry. We have to. It's just junk. It's like Paul said it. All my theological degrees, it's all dung compared to knowing him. When you know him, there's no excuse that will satisfy other than pressing in for healing and wholeness so that a whole entire city, much less two cities, would come and turn to the Lord. Could you imagine that? By one man. And that's what we're believing in. Like it overnight, this entire city could be turned upside down. And because of social media and because of everything in the internet, the whole entire planet could be turned upside down. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of the testimonies I'm going to show you came from the other side of the world. Let them turn you upside down. Like let it turn your belief system upside down to believe that God really is who he says he is. Amen? See, John chapter 10, verse 37, 38. Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. But if I do his work, believe in the evidence, let me hear you say the evidence, of the miraculous works I have done. Even if you don't believe me, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. I don't have to convince anybody to turn to Christ through persuasive words. I don't have to walk up to it. They're going to see him in me. If you don't believe my testimony about Jesus, then believe, bam, when you get healed of chronic illness. Or of deaf ear, or any of those types of things. Believe in that. If you don't believe in me, at least believe in the fact that somebody got up and walked who was in a wheelchair. Or, dare I say, cedar allergies. A common sore throat. I mean, like sometimes we build up like as if there's these high and lofty, like it's all miraculous. Somebody said, well, if it happened on a regular basis, then it would stop being miraculous. I'm like, well, what makes a miracle? The fact that it happens on a regular basis or the fact that something impossible happened. Yeah. And what I'm here to tell you is they're supposed to happen with regularity because in these verses it says you'll do anything. You'll do the same things I've done. You'll do greater works. So much so, I'm telling you, this verse just burned in me today as I was praying. I'm like, Lord, let Lida and Sharon, let that be New Braunfels and let that be San Marcos because that's where we're targeting this weekend with Love New Braunfels. Just let the whole population of the entire city turn to you because they hear about one testimony of healing. But I said, Lord, I don't want one testimony of healing. I want everyone to be healed. Like 100% of the time we pray for somebody. Like that's what we're pressing for. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it's not going to come through my hands alone. I'm going to be out there. It's coming through y'all's hands. It's not about the man with the mic and the hour of power. Okay? That ceased with the Old Testament. The New Testament, Jesus comes around. He says, but I empower you to go do it. Old Testament, hey, where's the prophet? Would he just show up? Where is Samuel? Man, we can't get anything done unless Samuel shows up. Right? New Testament, where are the believers? Mark chapter 16. These will be the signs that follow those who what? Believe. Where are the believers? When I walked into a hospital, they're waiting for somebody who believes that God will heal. Waiting for you. Amen? Okay. So, Mike, why don't you go ahead and show up, show those testimonies in order. They're all about a minute and a half long. And then we'll finish up with Bones' testimony about the metal disappearing.
Screws and two pins and one metal bar on his back. So he had four surgeries, three microsurgeries and one big one to insert all the metal. In the beginning of the prayer, Randy shared about metal and how God has healed close to 300 people of metal. And Randy said, try to do what you cannot do. He kept trying. He kept trying. We pressed in this time, right, Randy? We pressed in. What? He was pressing in for it. And then suddenly he waved with both hands. And now look what... Primeiro mostra até onde que ia. He's going to show you now where he could only bend up to here. This is all he could do up to here. And then when the power came upon him, look now. Olha agora, look now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
This is Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan here. We are in Santarém, Brazil, in the Amazonic Basin.
Okay, so his name is Jeronimo, and he had a problem in his right eye. he was unable to see 80%, and the doctor said that he wasn't going to be able to see 80%, and tonight God healed him, and he just read a couple different signs that are around the building, and his sight is completely, totally restored. Jerónimo, ¿cómo te sientes? How do you feel, Jerónimo?
Bien.
Good, good. ¿Qué pasó? What happened?
En ese momento que me estaban tocando, sentí algo que estaba restaurando mi ojo y me lo sanó.
¿Que te está sobando tu ojo? When I was receiving healing, I felt like something was like rubbing my eye.
So it was one of his eyes.
Mm-hmm. It was one of his eyes. He was not able to see 80%.
And so now, as when he got prayer down front, mm-hmm. the eye cleared up.
Yeah,
and when he got prayer, able to then see and read signs.
That is correct.
Well, thank you, Jesus.
Gracias a Jesús.
As you can see,
y como puedes ver, él tiene lágrimas en sus ojos.
So thank you,
por eso gracias, Jesús, por tu sanidad.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so his name is Jerónimo.
Imagine that this is your loved one. Would you not be celebrating? Like this, this is a miracle. Oh, come on, this is good. Oh, I love this. Oh, this is so good.
Finish the full miracle.
Oh, my God.
Obrigado, Jesus.
Obrigado, Jesus.
Obrigado, Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, you're getting this?
Obrigado, Jesus.
We have Rosanna.
We have Rosanna here.
20 anos.
After 20 years, 20 years ago, she lost this eye. And Jesus is, you can see a scar here, a scar there. She totally lost it. It was just scar tissue. And now, abre bem grande assim, Rosanna. Isso. You can see the pupil being formed in the back of the white. And the color, it was really white before, but now you can see the color forming. The pupil has been formed, the new one. Hallelujah. And the eye was much smaller.
Eye was very small. It wasn't forming. It sunk way back in the back, and she had a glass eye over it to make it stick out, look normal.
She had this instead of an eye there.
Yeah.
And now she doesn't need it. This was in the socket. Look how far back it went.
Yeah, I know.
That eye wasn't there.
I know. Well, there was a little.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Way back in the back.
It was way back, and this was covering it.
Yeah.
And now, look at that.
Wow. I mean, that's going on.
Rosane, Jesus está fazendo milagre. Pega lá de lembrança para guardar de lembrança. Ninguém mexe o pé. Vai guardar de lembrança, não vai precisar mais dele. Abre bem, Rosane. Bem isso. Olha, tá bonito seu olho, viu? Glória a Deus, eu tô vendo a pupila.
Você tá vendo, Ila?
Ila,
o meu
vem
olho.
Cá.
Tá aparecendo.
Bring up bones.
Go for it, brother.
This guy's nickname is Bones, and you'll understand in a second. This is last year over here. Okay.
When I was 19, I fell off a six-story building and shattered everything from my pelvis down. And I had plates and rods and pins and screws still left. And we watched a video about metal coming out of people's bodies. And we prayed over me. People gathered around and prayed over me. And a plate that was obviously in my shin is not there anymore.
Can you show us? All right, let's show that. Come on.
You used to be able to see it really good right here.
Yeah.
You can see the square, and now you can't even feel it. It's all soft right where it was.
Come on.
This was all metal right here, and look at that. It's just a bone now, or the muscle, the tendon. It didn't. The plate's not even there. I mean, it is. It's gone. You can feel screws, and they're gone.
So who healed you tonight?
Jesus.
Amen. Good.
I don't know the people in Brazil or Colombia, okay? But I've met Thad, and I put my fingers on his leg, and I saw the scars, and it was some nasty scar tissue, I'm telling you. Like, we know him because of the School for Supernatural Ministry up in Abilene. We know him. He came down here with a team from Abilene to do what you guys are going to do this weekend with Love New Braunfels, and he walked away healed after that. I'm telling you. Let me give you a couple testimonies, and I want Cindy to, because you said you had one too, right? Okay. And so I had a torn rotator cuff, and I don't remember how many years ago. This is probably about 6 years ago. And I went up to Bethel for a conference, and I knew when I came back I was going to have surgery because I could not lift my arm beyond here, and if I tried to, it hurt like the Dickens. And so I knew, playing sports and stuff like that, I knew exactly what it was. And in they had a healing room before one of the sessions, and so I went up there, and they went to town. They prayed for me. Nothing happened. Didn't feel a tingle, didn't feel heat, didn't feel any of that stuff. They were awesome. I felt loved, and I felt encouraged. But I went into worship. During worship that night, and it was about 30 minutes into worship, I hear the Lord say, "Raise your hands." I'm like, "Lord, it hurts." He goes, "Do you want to healing or not?" I said, "Okay." And I went, and I literally heard this pop, pop, pop. So much so that my friend Andrew, who was with me, turns and goes, "What was that?" And it was just in that moment. It didn't even hurt. I said, "Pop, pop, pop." And it still has not returned back since. Yeah. Was in Thailand. Oh, God. Sorry. This young woman who had, I don't know why I'm so emotional about it, but she'd been born deaf. And I've been pressing in, going, "I want to see the greater stuff, Lord." And the Lord says, "Okay, we just did simple commands. So, you know, put the hands on their ears. I command you to open up in the name of Jesus. Command creative miracles, regrow, and stuff like that." And we went several different times, and you tested it, you know, you're doing this and stuff like that. Nothing's happening. And you could tell she was getting discouraged, and I was getting discouraged. And I hear the Lord say, "Press in." Like you heard him say a second ago, that man started pressing into his healing. And as he said, "Go one more time," prayed over it. And then I hear the Lord say, "Don't snap at her like she's a dog. Call her like she's a daughter." So I went up like this and I go, "Jesus loves you," about that loud. And she goes like this, swung at me, because she had never heard, imagine if you never heard a sound in your life, even a whisper would sound like a shout. Okay, and she swat, and her ear completely opened up 100%. Right? I've seen a blind eye open. Like you could see the milkiness. As yours, I don't know if you could see in the video, but when they first showed up, you could barely see the pupil. And as, by the end of the video, you could start seeing the color of that pupil coming in. I saw that because it's like the cataracts, you know, being able to grow. I've seen those things happen. Cindy, you got it, something you want to share? Yeah, go for it.
Well, I had one in particular that I was going to share. But you know, anytime you start talking about the testimonies, it just stirs up all the ones that you know that you hang on to, that you treasure. And it's one thing, you know, and I'll have to say that, you know, I have this mindset that when I went, I've been on a couple trips with Randy Clark, and there's just something about being in the team, on the team, under his anointing. You kind of just go, well, we're just borrowing some of, you know, whatever Randy's got, you know what I mean? Because there was just so much that we would see over and over, like going into the slums and seeing blind eyes open before your eyes and cataracts disappearing, you watching them leave, and having a paralyzed person, you know, be able to lift an arm and to move again, and seeing people get up out of wheelchairs. I mean, crazy stuff, because that's what was burning in my heart that made me pursue all of it, is because I could read it in the Word and I was hearing the testimonies and I needed to see it for myself. And I'm like, I'm just not satisfied. And, you know, Bill Johnson said, "You go on a trip with Randy Clark, that's the fast track to healing," you know. So God sent me and it was good. But it was when I came back, though, that it was kind of like, well, why aren't we seeing it here? Like, why aren't we seeing it, you know, and just continuing to pursue it? And so I love that we're in a house here that's going after it and pursuing it, and that we had three, not just bones, we had three creative miracles of metal disappearing last year. And I'm believing for more than that. And I didn't know that I was going to share this till just at this moment. I didn't share it on Sunday. I was thinking it, but the Lord, okay. So I'm kind of going in a different angle right now, and I'll tell the testimonies in a second. But the Lord told me when we were moving here, Jay, you'll be able to remember this and testify to it, that when he moved us here, when I asked him where we were supposed to live, where it was going to be, New Braunfels or San Marcos, because Chris's job that moved us here was in San Marcos, and we were trying to figure out where we were going to be and all of that. And he said it would be A Tale of Two Cities. And I remembered that book. right? That's what came to my mind. Now, y'all, I haven't read that book in, I don't know, when was eighth grade? Like, whenever it was, right? So I'm like, Tale of Two Cities. Now, how am I supposed to remember the first line? Some of you guys might know that line, but it was nowhere in the vicinity of my memory whatsoever, right? Except that I heard him say it was the best of times and the worst of times. And then I heard him add, as in the days of Noah. So these are all written in my journals. Just so you know, there's a prophetic thing on here right now that I feel like the Lord is releasing. A confirmation of a word that he released more than 4 years ago. And that is that it would be a tale of two cities. And it didn't hit me, y'all, because I didn't plan this. Like I planned Love New Braunfels, but I didn't plan all of the stuff that's taking place this weekend. Like, this is a convergence of different ministries coming together, you know, because a woman named Lynette decided to be faithful and invite the Global School last year, and they're coming back again this year, and we just converged stuff, right? But he said it'd be a tale of two cities, as the best of times and worst of times, as in the days of Noah. And so that's the time that we're living in. Do y'all get that? Like, it's the best of times and worst of times. And so, and that's the great and terrible day of the Lord. Like, it's like, that's here. That's what's upon us right now. And I feel like this weekend is just the beginning of that, because it's the bridge. Like, we've bridged relationships. This church house people, we've built relationships with various ministries in San Marcos and stuff too. And part of what was on my heart is I have never been on Texas State campus. I've been to one little building near it, but I've not actually walked the campus on purpose, because the Lord told me that we would take a team on college campus. Now, I've met people who have ministry over there, but I've yet to go on that. My first time will be when we do it this weekend. And I believe that it'll be an activation of a prophetic word that he gave, that we'll be having teams or partnering with a team with that. And it's part of this bridge that he said there'll be a bridge between New Braunfels and San Marcos. And what will take place on that bridge between these two cities will explode in the opposite direction that you see the population growing down the I-35 corridor. Now, I didn't know that the corridor was called the corridor when I told Jay that's the word the Lord used, is on the I-35 corridor, there'd be a bridge between these two cities, and that something would take place, revival would take place, an explosion would take place between these two cities. So as you read that word, it stirred that up in me too, about the two cities, and it'll go toward Austin, and it'll go toward San Antonio, which is exactly the opposite of how the population is growing. And so I feel like this is part of the word that's coming forward. So I'm just hanging on to that, saying, thank you, Jesus. You said it. So now we're just going to walk in it and see it. But I want to talk about a couple of testimonies, because, you know, it doesn't take a lot of faith. It really doesn't. I mean, we talk about faith is a principle. It's not a law. And even when you have no faith at all, it can happen. And there was a 19-year-old boy, really tall. This was when I was in Korea. And he's one of my favorite testimonies, because he came up because his back was hurting him. He plays basketball, and so he was like, I just want my back, you know, taken care of. He's 19, he's a young guy, you know. And then he just kind of, as a side note, said, I said, well, is there anything else? And he's like, yeah, well, you know, I can't really smell, but that's okay. And I'm like, wait, what? And he says, I can't smell. I was like, what do you mean? Like, you can't breathe through your nose, or you can't smell? He's like, I can breathe, I just can't smell. And I said, but wait, if you can't smell, then that means you can't really taste. He said, yeah, I can't really taste. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a half Korean, I got super offended for him, because I love Korean food. And I'm like, what? You can't taste the food here? That, you know, and I'm like, that is just a sin all by itself. That is not okay with me. And so I actually prayed for that first. And I did not even pray for his back. I just prayed. I said that I'm just offended. Jesus, like, I'm just seriously offended for him. And I said, that is not okay. Since he was 4 or 5 years old, he had some kind of sinus infection or something, and something happened where he no longer could smell or a fragrant or anything, to the point where his taste buds were numbed or whatever. And there was some kind of blockage, I think, on one nostril or something that he could tell a difference. When I prayed for him, commanded it to open, and he was able to breathe. And the way he breathed, he could tell. Like, he just kept doing it where he could feel like the passages open or something. And so we were putting stuff in front of him, the oils. We didn't have a whole lot of stuff, you know. So, like, can you smell this? You know, can you smell, or whatever. And I didn't even pray for his back. And I said, chest your back out. And he was able to bend over, you know, and stuff. And we didn't even pray for his back, but it was just done because he got touched and healed. We had multiple jaws. We had weird ones in Korea. Like there was like dry eyes, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 different people with dry eyes that for whatever reason, they couldn't form tears or whatever very well. What I love about Koreans is they tell you everything. Like they give you the list of like 6 or 7 different things because they want it all. Like they were hungry, you know? I remember the deaf one that I love the most too, because it's the same way. It's kind of like we want to see the big stuff too. We don't just like, God cares about the hurt toe, but like I want to see the crazy stuff too, right? Like we're contending for it. And so as we were praying over this one woman, it's funny because I'd never heard you actually share that testimony about what you whispered, but I did the same thing to this woman. For 45 years, she had not been able to hear out of one ear. And so we were testing the other one she could hear, and we would do the test for the other one. And so I just heard the Lord say to speak into her ear. And so I spoke in Korean. I said, "Chukbo kamnida," which means, you know, I love you. That, you know. And so when she heard that, it was just a whisper. It popped open. She fell out in the spirit, like flaring arms. Ah, fell out in the spirit. We caught her, left her there while I was praying for somebody else. She gets back up, and that's when she shared the testimony that she heard it pop open, and then it was like a wind blew her back, and she just wept and wept and wept and wept and was able to hear perfectly clear. I mean, it was just amazing. Last testimony I was going to share happened today here in New Braunfels in my office. And it's just an encounter. Like I was praying with a client and an encounter happened. And all we did, honestly, it was one of those Jesus come kind of things. And we just sat, literally, just sat in the presence. She has an encounter. She's bawling. I'm just waiting, right? And she later tells me the report, like I didn't even pray. Okay, we just said, "Jesus, come." That was our prayer, right? And she'd been fasting. She'd been fasting this whole week for some other things or whatever, and she was just going to take the month of March to fast before Easter. But I think it is significant on some level because she's been coming to my office for almost a year. And chronic pain, lots of different issues, but we were dealing with something else, honestly. We didn't pray for anything else in her body at all. But just to hear from the Lord. And the Lord showed her a picture. Long story short, he was fire, burned away some stuff, and he just said, basically, it's done, right? And so as she began to process, a lot of the traumas and things that we've been dealing with, she just said, he just took it all. And she said, "I don't know how to explain it, but he just took it all." And so part of me is kind of like, you know, we haven't prayed the release and all that, you know, like all the little steps, right? I was like, he took it all? I'm just telling you this happened today. I'm just being real with you. I'm like testing it, right? Like, he took it all, Jesus? Like, because there's a lot of stuff here we've been working on, you know, like he just took it all. I was like, okay, help me understand, you know. And so she just kind of walked through some stuff and said, it's just gone. Like, I don't feel it. It's not there. Like, and then I was asking about some of her parts of her heart, you know, the heart sink thing. And she's like, "No, like we're good." Like, and her hands are on fire and stuff. Now I know that she has physical stuff in her body. And so we didn't even pray, but because of the encounter, I felt the impression to ask her, "Test your body from head to toe," is what I heard him say. So she began to test very specific things. She could never turn her head sideways. She could never, when she's driving, she have to turn her whole body to check her blind spot. She couldn't turn her head. She couldn't raise her arms up. She couldn't raise her arms back, both of them. She said, "I was just at the neurologist, and when I put my hands out," when they say put your hands out, you know, her hands looked like this. Like they wouldn't line up. And she could have them line up. She could have them raise up. When they say raise up, one would only go part way. The other one couldn't go all the way. She was able to do full range of motion all the way back. So we're like, God said head to toe. Because she was fine with that and was ready to go. And I'm like, God said head to toe. So she literally just took her time and let Jesus lead her into every area in her body where she totally forgot. You know how you can have pain for so long that you just get used to it, that it just, you know, it's just what it is. You don't even think about it anymore. Like he walked her through her body and said, oh, wait, I got to get up and try this. And she was like a kid, like trying out all this, like, wait. And then she said, she got up, she could touch her toes. She could not touch her toes. her hips were such a way that she would have her son even tie her shoes that she couldn't, you know, put on her shoes. She was able to pick up her leg, cross her leg, tie her shoes, both sides, reach back, touch her back. She tried every little thing she could think of that she hadn't been able to do. And she was able to do it all. Just like that. So there is a tie to emotional healing and physical healing, but I wanted to add then too, so, you know, we won't be meeting next week because of spring break. So just so you guys know, we won't meet next week because we're all going to take a break because this is going to be a big weekend and we're going to need a break. I'm going to need a break. And so it's spring break week. But then the next week, we still will have the global school students in the region. And so one of them is going to come back and share on emotional healing and stuff too. But notice how that ties together. So there's a lot of times that trauma and that stuff is tied together in our body as well. So whether you're going after physical, that can release something, or emotional, that can release something, you know, or deliverance or whatever. It's all in one. It's sozo, right? All of it. Any good?
Come on, y'all need to celebrate that. That was good. I can guarantee if that was you, you'd be hollering. That's just so good. What we're going to do is this, and I feel like God gave me, remind me of one more testimony this year about cancer. But before we do that, I want you to do right now, if you know that you have a physical ailment right now that needs healing or breakthrough, would you go ahead and raise your hand? Okay, why don't y'all stand up, actually. Okay, so all the rest of you are the prayer team. And even some of you that stood up, you might have to even lay hands on doubled up and go through, because it's all good. It's all the temple, okay? So let me release one more testimony. It was specifically in the area of cancer. And I think there's something that there's about this, and it might be a word of knowledge or whatnot, and I'm not going to ask you to reveal yourself it is. But when I was in Singapore, there was a young lady, she was in her 20s, late 20s, that had had just gotten her latest mammogram and had found a lump, I think, on her right breast. And she was incredibly fearful because several years prior, she had had to have one removed from her left. It was such a traumatic experience on the surgery and the whole, like everything that could go wrong and whatnot. It's like the cancer itself was less traumatic than the surgery and stuff like that. And so it had a word of knowledge about it. She came up afterwards and she says, "Will you just pray for me?" And as I began to do the interview, which is part of what we're doing, asking some of the questions, I felt like the Lord said, I'm going to remove trauma. So even as you talk to cancer, you also need to rebuke trauma in the middle of this. And so thankfully the Singapore team was amazing. They had catchers and whatnot too. And so as I just began to pray for her and just began to release peace, began to rebuke trauma and stuff like that, man, she went down in the spirit. And so she was down, and I went along and went and prayed for a bunch of other people. She was down for probably 25, 30 minutes, came back, and she was just kind of sitting there, you know, with her knees up to her chest or whatever. So I went and sat down to her, and I'm so grateful. I've still got this picture because somebody had taken a picture from the team and then sent it to me. And I said, "So what happened?" She says, "In that moment," and she began to pray, "the tumor in this side of it began to searing hot, like blazing hot. And then all of a sudden, she says, I just heard like go to sleep." And she said, "I realized in that moment, not only did the Lord remove the trauma, but he did surgery." Like, so it was almost like she went underneath anesthesia, went down in there so he could remove it. And she says, "Not only is this thing gone completely, like the lump's gone, but even the fear and the trauma and stuff like that, like his stuff is completely gone in the name of Jesus." And it was just such a powerful thing. So if you're dealing with cancer, you have a family member too, I feel like I just need to release that into the atmosphere. And look, God wants to heal you tonight, okay? So here's what we're going to do, prayer team, okay? What you might do briefly is ask a person, "So what are we praying for?" Okay? And then in this, say, okay, they're not even worth the distraction, okay? Like, the devil's going to try to come at you. They're not worth your time or your attention, okay? Let's put our eyes back on Jesus for a second, amen? Okay? Ask them what they need to be healed from. Okay, and then what we're going to do is we're going to speak to the condition with the authority in the name of Jesus. If it's deaf ears, ears open. If it's cancer, cancer go away. If it's hips or alignment, stuff like that, you're going to declare and you're going to release that faith over it, okay? We're not going to pray super duper long either, okay? We're going to go after this thing for maybe 30 seconds, and then what I'm going to ask you to do is to test your body. Try to do what you could not do beforehand, okay? If it's one of those issues and concerns, you have to go to the doctor, totally understand, but check your body, look for the sensations of what God's doing, okay? Are we all clear? Any questions real quick? No questions? Okay, so has everybody got paired up? All right, I want everybody to be touching at least one person, okay? Hey, kids, y'all are awesome. Y'all going to be my prayer team, too. I want you to go to find all adults, huh? They've got prophetic art, too. If you're being prayed for right now for a healing, would you raise your hand? Okay, kids, I want you to go find an adult, all right? So it may have to be, there's so many of us in here, one kid per adult at least, okay? Anybody's, I'm going to pray, yeah, yes. You'll pray for each other. This is what we're going to do. Okay. Hey, David, why don't you come right here? Okay. All right. So briefly, real quick, ask him the question, what are we praying for? All right. We're getting some healing here. Yeah. Celebration. So here's what we're going to do, and I want to give our kiddos a chance to share the prophetic art with you guys here, but I'm going to have Ryer share a testimony because I think there needs to be some other faith released. You know what it is? I bet you I know what it is too. So if y'all don't mind giving Ryer just attention real quick.
Hey everybody, I'm Ryer. I have three kids, and I want to talk about my second kid, Leona. She's 4 years old. And when we were expecting, we actually went to the doctor to meet her for the first time. And the nurse couldn't find her on the sonogram. And so then they brought in a different sonogram and they couldn't find her there. And then they brought in a third one, which is like the best they had. And they couldn't find Leona. And so the nurse started to give us the medical term where you... your body thinks it's pregnant, but it's not. And I just had in my spirit like a no, this isn't right. No, this is not right. This is my child. No. And so that whole next week, they told us we can come back in a week, for us to come back in a week. And so that whole next week, just praying and fasting and just seeking the Lord. And I said, God, I want my child. Like, I know you're not the author of this. This isn't your plan. This isn't who you are. You don't steal babies, you know. But if I have to come on knocking on heaven's door for my child, I'm coming and knocking on heaven's door for my child. And a couple days later, I just kind of felt this peace in my spirit. And I told him, God, the only other person I would allow to raise my child is you. And that's when he gave me this vision of like, in heaven, there's a classroom with all these kids and he's teaching kids. And he loves being mother and he loves being father to these kids. Like he loves the kids to grow up in his presence. And it just gave me such a peace. So then that next week came around, and as soon as they put that first sonogram on Emily, there was Leona. Like, and it wasn't like she was a week behind. She measured as she was supposed to be, and she was there, or she wasn't there, and then she's there now. And we're just like, everyone's like, what? Like, so excited. So I was just like, man, it's about just knowing who God is. And leaning on that and not flinching and not moving on who he is and the truth.
So here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to have him pray, and this is what I feel like the Lord is saying, that same declaration of, like, I'm not okay with this. Like, this is my child, right? And in the same way as we're declaring over a city and a region, what you're declaring over them is, as a father, say, no, these are my children. And I'm not okay with them not being okay, right? And so if you still need healing your body, I want you to raise up your hands. And as he declares, I believe there's going to be another release of the power.
God, I repent for letting trash in my house and agreeing with things that's not in heaven. God, I just thank you for being so good. Thank you for always being faithful. God, I have to hand this to you, knowing that you are good. And I give this to you God, and just, and I love you because you are so good to me all the time. So God, Lord, I pray that there be healing released in the name of Jesus. Jesus, that just what keeps coming to my heart is when John the Baptist said, I came before Jesus, but before me, Jesus was. And so he surpasses everything because Jesus was. And all creation was made through Jesus. So God, we just release heaven. An open heaven, the heaven that Jesus, heaven is open above you, and angels ascend and descend. Again, God, we speak healing. We speak your kingdom. And we speak this for your glory, not our glory, but for your glory, Jesus. Amen.
Let's begin to test your bodies. And what we're going to do, just because of time, I'm going to honor. Won't y'all have a seat real quick? And I'm going to walk down the line and have the kiddos share their prophetic art with you, okay? Unless, Erica, you want to, do you want to introduce it? Or are you okay? Yeah.
Yeah, so we do prophetic artwork. Well, we do some kind of prophetic worship each first Wednesday of the month. And so I just had to share Leona's, his daughter, drew an elephant that had a baby elephant inside of her belly. And so I just found that amazing that of all the things she could have drawn, she drew a pregnant elephant. And so even though Emily's not an elephant, Jesus knew that Ryer was going to have that on his heart and share that story. How awesome is that, that his four-year-old daughter drew that and heard that from God. So I just had to share that. I thought that was awesome. And then we got Miss Catherine over here who also had a baby theme. So I'm going to let her show the artwork and explain what it is. Here, I'll show it. You explain.
I didn't get to draw a bunch of stuff, but it's supposed to be a nursery in heaven, and there's a bunch of little babies in it that the angels watch, and they get to talk to the angels, and, I forgot what I was going to say. And, so the babies, even though, like, before they even born, like, when the babies died in their mom's stomach, they go to the nursery in heaven, and that's where the angels take care of them.
And that was so lined up with what Ryer just said. So crazy. Thank you, Jesus. All right, here's Juvia's. So I also told the kids that if they can totally draw an artwork and keep it, but they can also ask Jesus for an artwork to give somebody. So after you explain it, you have to also ask Jesus who it's for. Okay? So give me which one you want me to display. Oh, okay.
This is a present, and it says, that's too close. It says, you have all the gifts, and I like drawing presents, so I drew a present, and it's all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give it to somebody.
Oh, so now ask Jesus to highlight someone.
After I show this one.
Okay, after.
And this one says, you're sweet like ice cream, because I like ice cream, and it's really sweet. So, yeah.
All right, so now go hand them out and declare it over them, okay? Come on, Lacey, love.
So mine, Jesus told me to draw a dead tree and then all these colorful rays going into it, and it says right here, even in rough times, life will always come back. And so I just did all those life going into this dead tree, and the green and the tree kind of dried in, but. Yes.
Okay. Macy's gonna give that to someone too. So you go ahead and pray. Okay. Is this one for you or someone?
This is for my dad.
For your dad. This one's for his daddy. Awesome.
Yeah, let me show it off. God told me to. It's upside down. God told me to draw a picture of my future. So. He told me that I would be a missionary, so he told me to draw a picture of me on like three TVs, showing me, telling people outside that don't know about God.
That's awesome, David. Go ahead and give that to your dad.
Good boy.
Is this one for you, Juby?
This is for my dad.
Oh, this one's for his dad.
Yeah.
For his dad.
This is telling my dad and me to have the faith of Noah when God told him that there's going to be a flood that flooded the whole world. And I draw the picture of the animals coming off of the boat on the mountain with the rainbow.
Faith like Noah. And he's got one more.
God told me that when I'm in heaven, my castle is going to have a water slide, and there's going to be weird things like dinosaurs, and then there's going to be a flower in heaven.
That's only in heaven, right?
Yeah, that's only in heaven.
That's awesome. So you get to hold on to that one and give that one to your dada. Great job, Juby.
For my billboard.
For your what? What is that? Your part? Your, for her cork board at home. Okay. All right, Sarah, what'd you do? Go ahead.
So I don't know why, but my head, when she said to think of something and draw or tell God to give you a picture to draw, I guess, my head, and I know it sounds weird, but it immediately went to Roman and Greek columns, like right there. It's hard to see because I draw light. I also went to castle and mountains because I really love all of those things. So I drew what I thought a castle might be like, and the shades are clouds for like pink fluffy clouds and just like really beautiful sun rays coming through it.
And who's that?
And that's me, yes. Of course.
A princess. All right. Come on, Shepherd. I love shepherds. Okay. Turn around. Or I'll display it. You tell them what it is.
So it's a computer meeting a zombie and their friends.
And their friends. They were enemies, but now they're friends, he told me. Which I love. Here you go, buddy. Oh, wait. This one too. Shepherd. There you go.
This is just my
That's just your fun drawing. I know, you told me. All right, here's Talia's. Here, I'm going to hold the picture. You hold the remote. That's fine.
So this is my water slide, and while I was on there, I was like this tallest one. So while I was on there, I saw an ice cream cart, and then there was something present, so I got all of them. And then this was actually a giant gumdrop. And
this is in heaven,
and this is a giant sugar heart.
Okay.
And this is my mom and me.
So heaven apparently is a lot like Candyland, y'all. Is that everyone? Okay. Wait, Tyler and Micah. We got our artists. They were to the last second. I had told them 20 times to pack it up, and they were still going. I love them. Okay, so go ahead. I'll hold it. You hold that. Go ahead. I love this one. Tilly, yes, sit down.
Baby. This is a picture of Jesus making a city.
Yes, and that's all you got to say because it's amazing. Yeah. I love it. His hands just picking up the houses and moving them wherever he wants them. Okay. Oh, yeah, and Micah has a few, so we're going to display them. Go ahead.
Well, these two are together.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this explains that God has everything, the universe, the mountains, the trees, the lakes, and the plains. And this one on the back explains that even after rough times, like spring when all leaves go away, you come back from everything.
Awesome. Love that.
All right, before I pray for you guys, here's the thing. What was it? It's not quite 2 years ago when we did the creativity conference. Is that about right? The Lord gave us a word saying that if we wanted to see creative miracles, we need to give honor to creativity because he's the creator. And so we did a creativity conference. We had a prophetic artist friends came in and did that. And we began to see creative miracles take place. In the same way with these kids, what we're wanting to do is foster inside of them, dreaming with the Lord, hearing from his voice, and releasing with childlike faith what God wants to do in and through their life. And so because we give honor to this, I can promise you we're going to see great levels of breakthrough, right? Because the Lord goes, with childlike faith, I can move and move mountains, and it's going to be amazing too. So once y'all stand up with me, I'm going to pray for us. And then before you leave, what I want to do is I'll give you, if you would like, the five-step prayer model for pray for healing. And then, or you can pick it up on Friday night when you come back. You could do that as well too. So, Father, we just thank you for your goodness and kindness, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are commissioning us into the now revival, the now awakening. God, that there's a movement of your spirit, of your kingdom into our city and into our region that is unprecedented in the history of the planet. And we just come into alignment right now with the belief system of heaven that, Lord God, you want to see every single person healed, delivered, and set free into the purpose that you created them for, Lord. So we just claim right now in advance that the whole population of New Braunfels and San Marcos will be in awe of you, will have an encounter with you, Lord God, because of the things that you're doing. We declare right now that the enemy is now put on a notice, and that every area of darkness, we just release light into it in the name of Jesus. Every single stronghold, we command to be torn down in the name of Jesus, and we will not tolerate anything that does not reflect heaven. And so we just say, come, Holy Spirit, and have your way. Because, Jesus, we love you with all our heart. And we ask this in your mighty name, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Amen.